do you want to explain, because those are people like, I was fortunate to be invited to the pop-up slam, which I thought was fantastic. It was really great. But explain the concept, what it's about, for the thousands that watch the podcast. Yeah.
Is it not a million yet?
No.
No, okay.
I'm lucky if it's got to the 50 or 100.
Yeah, okay. So for the two men and the dog watching currently.
My Steph, go, oh.
Yeah. I think every single person that has played pickleball is addicted to pickleball in the UK.
Yeah.
And there are a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think there's one of them that hasn't thought at some point, if I win the lottery, I'm going to open a pickleball centre. We've all thought it.
Or build a pickleball court.
Or build a pickleball court or whatever. We've all thought it.
Yeah.
But actually, none of us have actually had the time, the energy, the money to do it. So we've all carried on playing in school sports halls, leisure centre, badminton courts, et cetera, et cetera. And we've carried on. And for one, I've now done that for 8 years.
Yeah.
Thinking in my head, every month when the premium bonds come through, is this the
premium
time?
Bombs? You still do the premium bombs?
Still do the premium bombs. £200 this month. Thank you very much.
Well done.
So we've
Ernie in it, or was it Eric? Was it Eric?
Ernie. So we've all thought it.
Yeah.
Then about 8 months ago, it must be now, I got a phone call from David O'Brien, who runs
David Lloyd Bracknell.
So David contacted me and said, look, there's somebody who, I guess is a bit of an entrepreneur, who's got this idea about opening a pickleball centre, and I think he should speak to you. And is it okay to give him your number? So I was like, yeah, sure, not a problem. It's going to just be another person who goes, oh, I'd love to do this and can't. So I was like, sure. So got in touch with this guy called Neil Rodford.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Neil used to be managing director of, or chief executive, whatever, of Fulham Football Club.
Okay.
I think he was the youngest ever MD in the Premier League. And
is that a coincidence, the Fulham connection?
Total coincidence. All right. Yeah. And he was there when Mohamed Al-Fayed owned Fulham.
All right.
And in fact, Neil was instrumental in Fulham buying their current training ground.
Right.
Down at Motspur Park. So, he'd also ran this massive talent agency. Sporting talent, presenters, you know, don't want to name drop, but the likes of Anton Deck and Graham Norton and A-list. Yeah, us.
Us. The OG boys this year.
Yeah, exactly. So, a really credible guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Although he wouldn't tell you any of this himself.
Quite humble.
Very humble.
Nice.
In fact, sometimes I'm like, have I met the right Neil? Because this guy is so humble and so nice. And
so normal.
So normal. Yeah. Whatever normal is.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I met up with
him. Our normal,
yeah. So I met up with him and I took Sam Basford with me. Because Sam's pickleball brain is beyond, like, everybody else's, in my opinion. Right. He's a young man who just gets it. He follows it. He, like, there's nothing Sam...
He hasn't been well, though, has he?
No, he's sadly diagnosed with Addison's, but he's getting over it. He's just, he's a drama queen.
Okay.
So,
he
just wanted some attention, and, you know, so he thought he'd face plant and smash his tooth, et cetera. So anyway, we went and met this Neil, and Neil said, oh, look, there's this place. I think it would make really good pickleball courts. So we went with him. It was over in Sunbury. Huge warehouse, potential for 6 courts, but needed loads of work. And I was like, I can see where he's going with this.
Yeah, the facility was good,
But he's like, they had these big oil drum things, and he was like, we can turn these into changing rooms, and, you know, and it like, great idea. Anyway, cut a very long story short, the landlord decided they didn't want leisure use. But by now, I've fallen a little bit in love with Neil, and I'm like, I love his energy, I love his ideas.
And he's committed.
And I'm like, look, we'll find somewhere else. That, like,
there's loads of units like this around the country somewhere,
Well, turns out there's not as many as we think there is.
I know.
So, lo and behold, his colleague Ian finds this place in Kingston. Well, I was happy travelling half an hour to Sunbury, but all of a sudden it's in Kingston and it's 15 minutes from my house. I'm like, let's have a look. So we go to look at this one unit, which is 14,000 square foot. So we go across and it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And the letting agent says, well, there is another one next door if you wanted something slightly smaller. And I'm like, we want something slightly bigger, not slightly smaller.
Yeah, what could you get in 14,000 square feet? How many courts could you get
in? Six in 14,000.
Right.
So we said, we'll have a look at the one next door, which is 12,000. And we're like, hold on a minute, these are connected. But you're obviously then doubling the cost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Neil's pretty confident that he can get the finance and we can do this, we can do this. So all of a sudden it's gone from us looking at a 14,000 square metre,
26
square foot,
26
to now
whatever, 12
signing up
26, yeah,
for 26,000 square foot.
Which gets you 10 courts.
10 courts, cafe, bar, changing rooms, social areas, like the works.
Yeah.
An experience, not just a pickleball court, but an experience with, you know, plans to have acrylic flooring with like matted, so it's good for your body, like your joints aren't going to suffer so much. So over the period of 8 months, with a lot of hard work, we've got a brilliant architect called Luan. We've got like a really good team.
Yeah.
He introduced me to this guy, Marshy, who like Neil's like, oh, he's a great guy. I'm like, yeah, yeah, whatever. Went to meet him for coffee. I was like straight on the phone to Neil. Yeah, love him. Yeah, let's do this. Yeah, great team. Sarah, Neil's partner, has got more energy and enthusiasm than anyone I've ever met. She just jumps around smiling the whole time. She's incredible. Yeah, we've got Sam, who's going to be like director of coaching and events.
Yeah.
We got some guys that are going to be doing the finances and whatever. They've worked so hard. They put in a planning application about, must be a month ago now, the planning application went in. And like most local authorities, they have a big checklist. You must have this, you must have that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they won't even look at it until they're happy that you've got all the forms.
Yeah.
But luckily for us, London, well, Royal Borough of Kingston upon Thames, it's not just a London borough, it's Royal.
Royal London Borough of Kingston, yeah.
The Royal Borough Planning Office have validated our application. So they've basically
now
said,
it's in.
We've got what we need.
Yeah, it's in for now, it's got to go
so
through.
So now, hopefully by the beginning of September,
planning decision.
We'll have a planning decision.
You're not knocking the building down and rebuilding it. It's just
change from industrial to leisure use.
Yeah.
It's on an industrial site as such. You've got a couple of kitchen manufacturers.
You've got parking spaces there.
Loads of parking. We've got electric points for electric cars. We're going to have space for bicycles.
Yeah.
It's only a 10-minute walk from Kingston Station, 18 minutes from Surbiton, 15 minutes from Berrylands. So
wait, how long is it from Surbiton? 15?
18 from Surbiton.
So that's good, because I mean, Fleet, you can get a train to Surbiton from
Straight
Fleet.
Through Surbiton. It's an incredible place.
Not good to drive from Fleet to there, but that's the only thing, because you've got to go around the other side of Kingston. But that's the thing you want, isn't it?
Yeah, you say that, you can go. All you've got to do is go down up the A3. So you just come round up the A3 and there's a turning on the left that takes you the back way through Berrylands. So it's pretty
easy. We're just
trying
to avoid the A3 at the moment because of the M25 junction, but that's going to be done next year. So that'll be even better.
So there's that, and then we've managed to negotiate a really good partnership with Franklin.
Yeah.
Jared Franklin is on board.
He's so enthusiastic about stuff.
You know, we've done a really good deal with him and given them naming rights for it being the Franklin Pickleball Club.
Right.
And we'll... You know,
merchandise and all
deal with
stuff.
Franklin merchandise.
Nice. Yeah,
we'll have their paddles. We'll 100% use, you know, no doubt about it. We'll be using the Franklin balls.
Yeah,
particularly that they've now come out with this new biodegradable ball.
Yeah.
So, you know, playing pickleball and saving the planet at the same time. Well, I don't know about saving it, but helping it.
Helping it.
Helping it save itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have Franklin events there. We've already got, you know, Louis LaVille is already a Franklin pro. So that's going to help. It's incredible. And fingers crossed, toes crossed, eyes crossed and everything crossed, we could be opening the first week of January. Brilliant. That's the hope.
So while you're, so obviously with all of these things, you're waiting for planning, then the danger, isn't it? How much money do you spend now going out and putting tenders together for the construction works?
Yeah, that's all. We've got meetings this week. Tenders are out.
Yeah. So you're prepared to risk the money now and getting them out. Yeah, going, right, guys, if we get planning,
we've got to be on it.
You've got to be ready to mobilise in 2 or 3 weeks and
absolutely
crack on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Neil's got some really good people. Neil's brother is sort of always been big in the building side of things.
Yeah.
Our architect. We've got, you know, we've got a really good team.
Oh, that's good.
And we're pushing forward. We're going to have a shop there. We've already had two people come down to bid to run the shop.
But just as a job?
To actually run it as a shop. Realistically, it's not going to be open. We're going to be open hopefully from 7 in the morning till 11 at night.
Yeah.
The shop won't be.
No.
Because there's no need.
And the shop will be a sports shop or a shop.
It will be a pickleball shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will be a pickleball shop. So people will have the opportunity to demo paddles. They'll be able to.
A couple of contenders out there already doing quite well on the pickleball shop.
Absolutely. But as yet, there's not a physical shop anywhere in the country.
No.
So this, theoretically,
we're doing everything online, but that's to keep costs down, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You could have a satellite that spins off from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, also, you don't want to be limited. The thing is, will there be a clash because of Franklin paddles
I
and things like that?
I think we'll focus on Franklin products.
Yeah.
But all that kind of stuff still got to be thrashed out. But to be honest, Franklin product, the good thing about Franklin is, you know, they have such a big range that they can cater for every need. They can cater from the beginner right through, like, to the pros.
So how will it work then? Is the Franklin people, will it be a walk-in or will you have to become a member like a David Lloyd?
It will be both. I do not want it to be like a David Lloyd. Nothing wrong with David Lloyd.
No.
They're beautiful. They're brilliant. But every now and again, I'd like to go and play with my friends
somewhere
at David Lloyd Bracknell.
Yeah.
I can't.
No.
Because I'm not a David Lloyd member.
No.
And I don't want the Franklin Pickleball Club to be like that.
No.
We will certainly have a membership option.
Yeah, of course. Well, you've got to make the numbers work, haven't you?
Exactly. But the way I think we're going is that we will have a limited membership, like an all-inclusive, like pay a monthly fee for your membership.
Play as often as you like.
Play as often as you like. Take advantage of when there's an event, you get first dibs.
You'll get
discounts off this. Yeah. You'll get, you know, we'll have exclusive, you know, dues. You know, maybe with celebrities, maybe with pros, that members will get first dibs.
Brilliant.
But then we'll have another level of membership that for people that can't afford, you know, let's say £200 a month, for people that can't afford that, we might have a membership that say £50 a month and you'll get discounted court fees.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can book courts because you're a member. Maybe not 15 days in advance, maybe only 7 days in advance.
A bit like leisure centres. I mean, you could just ring up a leisure centre and say, look, can I book a court next week?
But to me, like, I want to be able to say, when somebody flies over from America and says, I want to play at the Franklin Pickleball Centre, I don't want to say, sorry, you're not a member.
No.
I want to say, of course, welcome, come and have a good time. And so we'll do day passes. you know, and it could well be that the, you know, the 100 members that we've got maybe get a guest pass each month.
Yeah.
A bit like David Lloyd do every now and again, depending on your membership. And those can be offered to guests. So, you know.
This is the prototype, really, to see how it can work.
How it can work.
And I assume the vision is to open more of these.
100%, yeah. Already been to look at places.
Yeah.
So we've got another one lined up that we've seen, we like. Will we? Maybe. Personally, I want to get the first one open.
Yeah, of course. Well, you need to learn the lessons, isn't it?
And the good thing is, with having it in London, you're not going to get any more expensive than London.
Yeah.
So wherever else we open around the country, if we can make it work in London, we can make it work anywhere.
Yeah.
Is that not a Frank Sinatra song, is it? Well, I can make it there.
I can make it in New York, New York. I can make it anywhere, yeah.
Kingston doesn't sound the same.
No, but it's more like, is it near Berrylands or Norbiton?
Yeah.
So you can make it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the idea. If we can make it work in London, which we hope we can, I think we can then go somewhere on the South Coast. We can go somewhere like Milton Keynes. We can go somewhere in Birmingham. We can Cardiff.
You've set up a business.
MCMX, yeah.
MCMX, that's the business.
That is, yeah. That MCMX.
Will be the Franklin.
Yeah, so the Kingston one will be the Franklin Pickleball Club.
Right.
Run by and owned by MCMX.
Right.
And then what will happen, MCMX will open another one, which... Hopefully, Franklin might say, well, couldn't that be the Franklin Pickleball Club as well?
Or somebody else might want to come along.
Or someone else. And it gives opportunities for different people.
Yeah.
MCMX will be the owners of the facility.
The 10 courts open 15 hours a day.
Yeah.
150 sort of court man hour, whatever the numbers is.
Person hours.
Player hours. Singles.
Yeah, we'll have ball machines so people can come,
just hire a court, practice
with the ball machine. We'll have on-site coaches, you know, the likes of Rob Williams, who's, you know, him and Sam Basford are the only two master teacher pros.
Level twos, in the country. Yeah.
They're beyond level two. They're level two and
more.
Yeah. So, you know, having those guys there... will offer opportunities and, you know, we're going to have the highest level coaches we can have.
Yeah.
But we're also going to have coaches that, you know, when people don't want to spend humongous amounts to be coached by the best, we'll have coaches at all levels. So a brand new person who walks in the door can have an introduction.
Like us level one coaches.
Exactly. That's exactly.
Get me on your list.
And you know what? Not even level one.
No.
You know, PLC, the pickleball leaders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, people that have passed the pickleball...
Just introducing people to the game. Absolutely. And giving them some basic knowledge.
And you know what? There are some pickleball leaders out there who have better skills than some level twos.
Oh.
Without a doubt, because they're good at what they do.
Yeah.
I personally, if somebody said to me, I'll give you 50 quid to run a pickleball leaders course or 200 quid to do level two coaching... on pickleball leaders every day of the week.
Yeah.
Because to me, they're the people that are growing and developing the school. They're the people getting people into the sport.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the leaders, in my opinion, we should be spending most of our time with, because they're the difference about people coming in and staying.
Just going back to the grassroots of any sport.
Absolutely.
And you get that right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people can go off to the different pathways, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, down there, you want to be competitive and you know,
it's about playing. And like one of the biggest things to me, like one of the best things that we have done in the last year is we ran, myself and Julie Mack, ran an introduction to pickleball for the deaf community at Richard Challoner School, where London Pickleball play. We arranged it. Julie used to work with the deaf community.
Yeah, so you've got a guy, He's got the same. He's got sketches, orange sketches. I've seen him a couple of times. He was at the Southeast
James.
James Double
James League. James Townsend. Yeah. Yeah. So James came to this introduction to pickleball.
Was Julie signing at the Slam?
Yes, she was. Yeah. They did have an interpreter as well, but Julie's signing is really good. So they came. I think we had about 32. We did this whole day. It was a Saturday. We did this whole thing. It was incredible. James was addicted by the end of the day. He then decides he wants to play. So he starts playing and then he gets a few friends to play. I think we've got 14 new players at London Pickleball through James.
And they're not all deaf? Or some of them are?
Yeah, the ones that James has introduced are all deaf players. Yeah, but I just call them new players.
No, but, so, but that's brilliant, but, though. Yeah, but this is, again, breaking the boundaries about the sport where...
Yeah, we now, everybody at London Pickleball is learning to sign. We can now all do our numbers, our colours, our countries, our, you know, I can tell James where to go when I need to.
I think we all can do that.
Yeah. I can do it.
The universal sign.
Yeah, I can do it in BSL. Yeah,
I bet you can.
So,
but that's what's...
That to me, they're totally integrated into London Pickleball as, you know, James has become one of our most valuable players.
Yeah.
His enthusiasm is ridiculous. He's now set up a Deaf Pickleball Association. He's set up a Deaf Pickleball group over in Bromley or Bexley or somewhere. He's going up and down the country. He's doing introduction to pickleball at festivals in Leeds. He's doing one at one of Steve Bill's events this weekend.
Brilliant.
That is what we should be focusing on, getting more and more people playing from more and more communities.
Well, diversity, isn't it?
I think we struggle with the black community. Right. If I'm honest, I think we are massively underrepresented with the black community.
What, in pickleball?
Yep. Yeah, we've got a few Asian players.
Yeah.
But I can only think... Now, I've been playing pickleball for 8 years... I can name off the top of my head two black women that play pickleball.
Right.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
We've got to do something about that.
Yeah.
And I think having the Franklin Pickleball Club and having a facility where people can go.
But then that's also great on people like Molly who do the femme pickleball.
Yeah, femme pickleball, yeah.
Because I don't want to talk about that because, you know, there was a couple of blokes going, well... You know, that's sexist to men. And I said, that wasn't the point.
No.
She said it was just being able to empower women who sometimes do feel a little bit, not threatened, but when you're playing against men, it if you haven't got that sort of personality. And she said, just growing up through life, women have always been second class, not second class, but, you know, subservient
in many
to men.
Sports.
In many sports, many and life in general. And
that's it. It's not about being sexist. It's not about... Oh, let's do something good for women and not men. It's about giving people opportunities that they haven't necessarily had.
But what a lovely thing. Like, you know, at the pop-up slam, we didn't stay till the end, but Thaddeus and Pei beat James and Louis in the battle of the sexes.
Yeah.
Just goes to show, you know, they were all great players. Yeah. And if you were a betting person, you would have gone, you know, James is really good, but the girls are brilliant as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But they won, and I thought that is brilliant because that should then hopefully give some people go. Oh, it doesn't matter. I don't go on a court now when we have sessions and they're mixed. I don't go. Oh, I'm playing with a woman.
Yeah.
Or it's like, how are we going to beat them? If it's two blokes, or if it's two women, or if it's a mixed session, whatever.
Absolutely.
Just going back to one of the early podcasts I did with Maisie. Now, her dad, Richard Wise, you know, massive.
I'll call him Not So.
Not So. I haven't met him, but we've chatted. But
he's lovely. Not So Wise.
He runs a disability league, you know, wheelchair pickleball. And I'm having a chat with a guy called Steve, I think. Steve. He's a wheelchair player. And we're going to meet up at the Open and have a chat because there's a guy down here in Andy, he plays, I think, in Southampton.
Right.
And it's just to have their story and how, you know, the fact that the game allows them to play with able bodied people,
absolutely,
so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's what is so wonderful. And, you know, even the fact you could play, you know, you only need one arm to play pickleball.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things, you could have one eye, you could have, You know, you don't have to hear.
Absolutely.
And there is no reason for you to not being able to get on the court to play.
Yeah.
However, this society, you've got to provide people with an environment.
Opportunity
and an environment where they feel safe and don't feel overawed and stuff like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And that's the bit. But I think all of this is going to help, isn't it? Everything. Yeah, and I think definitely. There's room.
I think that there's a group up in Dunstable, Trudy and Rex Ellis. And they've actually come up with a whole new set of rules. It's called adaptive pickleball.
Okay.
They've done a lot of work on it. It's worth speaking to them.
Okay.
They're incredible. And they
can give me chat afterwards.
Yeah, I'll give you some details. But they do this whole adaptive, and they got a little badge, and adaptive pickleball players can wear this badge. So when they turn up on a court with you, you know straight away. Okay, I'm going to have to adjust the rules for this person. Yeah. And why shouldn't it be? Well, like, if you've got somebody, like, let's say, for instance, you've got a player that's got Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And they haven't got the same balance.
Yeah.
It's hard to stop at the kitchen line anyway.
Yeah.
It's really hard when you've got balance issues.
Yeah.
So why can't we adapt the rules slightly?
Use it as a landing area.
Yeah, if they volley outside the kitchen and they go a step in, okay, come on, it's bat and ball. It is bat and ball. And they are entitled to have fun, and their, should we call it disability or lack of ability, shouldn't stop them playing because they can't do that. You know, if people have got memory issues and they can't call the score because... Well, I'm not being funny. There's a whole group of us at London that are menopausal women. We can't, you know, we have a good rally and we're like, who served? What was the score?
Why
can't your partner score? Well, they can.
Yeah.
So don't make it difficult and say, well, you can't score, so you can't play. No, say, don't worry, we'll score for you. Let's do everything we can to make this game open and available for everybody.
I think I joked with you on Sunday about, you know, I was trying to set up a tournament and the uptake hasn't been, and I'm trying to get the U3A involved. And they messaged me and said, well, we'll have to have a chat about the way you score because we have our own method and stuff. And now, having just said that, it's all hindsight, you would go, if it works for you, then leave it alone.
Yeah,
you know,
do it.
And so,
Listen, when you're not in a competition.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, it's different. If you're in a competition, the rules are the rules. And don't get me wrong, the rules are the same in rec play as they are in competition. Like,
but if we go on a court, though, we're going to say, are we playing normal scoring to 11, or are we playing rally scoring to 15, or rally scoring to 21?
Exactly.
You adapt, don't you? Well, then they're rules then. You on the right, you on the left. So, you adapt, don't you? So adaptive pickleball at those levels for perhaps people that aren't so able-bodied or
Absolutely.
Whatever.
And don't not make just, it difficult.
Not just
make
physical,
it easy.
But mental as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's...
And I think that's it, you know... And I don't want to say, once you get past 60 or once you get past 70 or once you get past 80, but all of us at some point, you know, like my dad had Alzheimer's. He couldn't remember what happened 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I was playing a game with him, you know, I used to play pairs with him just because it was the only chance I had to win.
Yeah.
You know, but let's make it easy.
Ruthless.
Yeah, you know, I had to get his money off him somehow. So, but yeah, let's make it easy for people, not difficult.
Yeah.
And this is a game you can do that.
But how do we do that? How do we spread the word? How do we make it more accessible? Because obviously there are lots of good people in this sport.
Yeah, there are.
You know, for me, it seems like on that side of thing, the commercial side, that's starting to happen, and it's still fairly new in its infancy here. But every school in this, most schools in this country have got a sports hall.
Yep.
Most of those sports halls probably are big enough to have a badminton court or something on it. You know, it sounds to me that schools are just would be the perfect starting place, not just because it's pickleball, but also just from a child's development, cognitive development.
Yeah.
Picking up a tennis racket is a lot harder than picking up a paddle.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you can make those paddles even smaller if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And you could maybe get a smaller ball, but starting there, and that could be a pathway to other racket sports. Because I remember, you know, I still feel there are certain racket sports that are privileged.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm looking at Wimbledon now and our top guys, and you're looking at, I was watching yesterday, Jack Draper, brilliant. And then you look at his background, you know, mum and dad been in the sport all his life. Dad.
Weren't his dad the head of the LTA?
Sports England, you know, Sport England he was, and all that. So, you know, I was fortunate. I went to boarding school for a period of time and I could play tennis for fun outside. But that's how I got into squash. Or I also travelled abroad and was introduced to other sports, you know, even softball. I played softball when I was younger. I loved stuff like that, and hockey and football and all the other sports. And it's just how you get people into those, giving them the opportunity to try these different sports out. The after-school clubs, which is going, but, you know, trying to move away from that privilege. And that's why I feel quite strong about this governance issue. But I don't, you know, I know I don't want to upset anyone at the moment. I know it's just been pushed down the road now till September so that no decision making will be done. But just look at what's going on in this sport in such a short period of time, the people that are doing it, and why is it got a buzz about it? Why is it successful?
Yeah.
And interview all the people from different levels, and you go, it's people's enthusiasm. People want, and they see all of those intrinsic benefits. You know what I mean? You know,
absolutely.
One of the girls at our club, you know, she does an after-school club for kids and they just loved it. And they came to our Red Nose Day thing and he just wanted to meet Thaddea.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was lovely. And it's just wonderful. And I was chatting to this girl this morning on the phone, got her name now, Georgia. And Georgia was really worried about coming on the podcast. She said, I've only been playing the game for 6 months and I've got nothing, no medals, no nothing. I said, and?
Yeah.
I said,
you're exactly
what I would like people to see, because you're a girl, which is great, but you've got a sporting background.
Yeah.
What is your journey? How did you get into the sport?
Yeah.
Suddenly you're now sponsored by Diadem.
Yeah.
But what are the first? How did that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Open the door ajar for somebody else to have a look at, to go.
And that's exactly it. People have to have role models.
Yeah.
And that's not just kids.
Yeah, no.
But everyone has to have role models. And if
you lead me to lovely links I had on here, mentors and role models.
Okay. But that's exactly it. If a young, so we got some young kids at our group, they see, so Pei Chuan plays at London Pickleball.
Yeah.
And these kids see her, not just the kids, all of us. We see her playing. And of course, these youngsters.
She's so dynamic, isn't she?
Yeah. And so sweet.
Yeah.
And she'll play with the kids. Theo Malbois came and played in one of our Rally 21 events. His dad was playing. He said, can I bring Theo? He was like, yeah. So I kept subbing him in for me. Like, I'm getting old. I wanted a rest. But he played.
Yeah.
And he played with Pei. Now, that kid was buzzing, you know. And that made him even more enthusiastic about playing.
Yeah.
The young girls that we've got playing now, they see girls like Pei and Thaddea making a career out of it.
Yeah.
So they've got something to strive for. One of those kids has now gone to her school and said to her head, well, we need to play pickleball. We need to do this. So now her school are going to do pickleball. And this is where we get other people in. And I'm saying about the black community are underrepresented in pickleball. Well, maybe because they've got no one to look up to.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like the Williams sisters in tennis.
Yeah.
You know, that encourage others. Who, hold on. This is a role model.
Yeah.
If we haven't got role models, we don't know. You know, we don't have the confidence to say, I can do that because there's no one else like me doing it. So that's what we need. We need more role models. We need more mentors.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's difficult when, you know, people are now trying to make a career of it, and it's hard to just take somebody under your wing when you need to earn a living, right? Because, you know,
I just don't know how they do it.
No,
I was just talking to James, you know, you've got a full-time job and he's at that level.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that is probably the only full-time professional.
Well, and Pei.
And Pei, but, Pei. You know, it's hard for them as well.
But that's it. You know, Louis still got... I think Louis practices like 2 hours a week because he's got a full-time job.
Yeah, yeah.
Freddie Powell, full-time job.
Yeah.
All, you know, and until they can earn money purely from
that's
the sport,
why it's important for all aspects of the sport to grow, like the Franklin Pickleball Club, because that becomes a facility.
Absolutely.
People see that that's an opportunity.
Yeah, hold on, I can get a job in pickleball now because I can work in the shop or I can work as a coach.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's exactly, this is exactly where I'm coming from. Coming out of an industry of construction where in my latter years, I want to be doing something, getting into this. You know, I don't know where this is going to go, but somewhere along the line, whether it's a bit of coaching, whether it's a tournament, whether it's the podcast, whether it's helping in an administrative role, you know, where you can earn a living, but also do something that's vocational and enjoy. Because we've all, at the end of the day, people got to understand, you've all still got to make a living.
You've got to make, Sam Basford's like an ideal person to look at in this. So he's gone off to university. So he loves pickleball. He started playing when he was like 16.
Yeah.
Very talented, very good at it, loves it. But at that point, there was no career in the UK for pickleball. So he's done exactly what he's supposed to do. He's a very bright lad. He's gone off to university to do accountancy. Right? Brilliant. Well done, Sam. You know, you can add up. So he goes off to uni and he goes to work for one of the major
one of the big
financial companies, right? You don't need to say it was, but he goes there and he starts doing like an internship, whatever it's called. I didn't go to uni, so I'm not sure. But off he goes and he's like, oh my God. Like, it is cutthroat. It is...
Oh yeah, the world out there is difficult. Yeah, it is hard.
Right, and he's like, this is everything I don't want to do and everything I don't want to be. So he's now on a 3 or 4 year course to do something that he really doesn't want to do. Sam's about people. He's about, you know, and this isn't about people. This is about making money.
Yeah.
So Sam has got the, whatever you call them.
Kahunas.
Yeah.
We can say kahunas.
Kahunas to say, do you know what? I'm going to brave this and I'm going to do what I want to do and I'm going to make a career out of this. And Sam was the first person, you know, to say, this is what I'm doing. He set up a company. He said, I want to coach people. I want to help people. I want to develop people. I want to put on events for people. And he set up SB Pickleball. You know, could have had a better name than SB.
That's fairly original, isn't it?
Yeah, but very original. But he's done it and he's gone out there. Sam Basford has made a career for himself.
Yeah, good for him.
Now that, okay, it's only been going like, I don't know, 2 years? When did he finish uni? Let's say 2 years.
Yeah.
But now these young players coming through can see what he's doing and they can go, well, if he can do it, I can do it. And young girls are going to see Thaddeus.
Lloyd Attroy started up the pickleball store.
Yeah.
Oh, I always get this wrong. But, you know, he's a young... But he also goes into uni where he was at uni in Winchester and he's a mentor for youngsters.
But that's, I think his is quite a funny story, actually, Lloyd, because I think he was trying to prove to students that you can just set anything up you want.
Yeah.
If you know, if you do this and do that, and he kind of set it up, not as a joke, like as an example.
No,
and all of a sudden he's like, well, hold on a minute. And it's incredible what he's done.
He did, and I, you know, I chat to him and he said, I used to get home and I used to get on the phone and I'd ring these brands up in America, just cold call them.
Yeah.
And I'd get through to someone and I'd say, I've got this idea and then keep doing it, and someone said, "Okay, I'll give you a go."
Yeah,
and
look at him
snowboard,
now.
And he's doing really well.
They're the UK pickleball shop.
Yeah,
and Freddie and Jack. Yeah. You know, UK pickleball shop, which is the longest standing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, without the UK pickleball shop, Jane and Mike.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be where we are now
of course.
They got stuff in before we'd even heard about it. So they're well established, but then Lloyd has come in and worked really hard and done what he's had to do. Those two are now the leaders, should we say, in pickleball retail.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, there's other people, there's pickleball people, there's, a few other places. But those two have nailed it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's hard. And now somebody else is going to go, well, hold on, didn't Lloyd just do this on the back of a...
I know.
A sweet,
you know, hopefully it'll inspire people. There's I don't know if you follow social media much, but there's a guy called Simon Squibb. And he goes out the street and he says, do you have a dream? And he challenges people. He said, I'll give you £5,000 now to quit your job. You know, what's your dream? What's your dream? What's your dream? And it's about taking that going.
Yeah.
And he, you know, and he's, I don't know if he's got a bit too commercialised, but, he, you know, he stopped a girl in the street, said, what's your she, I can't, I've got to catch a train. He said, no, what's your dream? I want to be a singer. He said, well, sing something for me now. She goes, I can't, I've got to get a train. And she goes, she said, no, but I've got all these followers now, people watching, right? This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity now. She goes, no, but I'll get a train. Where's your train got to go to? So-and-so, there'll be another one. He said, I'll pay for your taxi home. And he's like, come on, I'm giving you an opportunity to go for it now. And he stopped other people, and he wants to make a difference to the world. And he started his own businesses, and it is out there. And I think that's
it is, but it's whether or not you're brave enough to do it. We've all had a dream at some point. And I had exactly the same thing. I was working for the Metropolitan Police, and I'd worked for them for 27 years, and I got to the point I hated my job. I really didn't like it anymore, and I was about to apply for a job as a coroner's officer. In the Met still, but it was different from what I was doing. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I could do that. I'll be a coroner's officer. You know, dead bodies, they're not going to argue with me. Let's go for it.
You've pissed enough people off already.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the inspectors who worked on one of the other teams, she came in, a girl called Nikki, and she came in, she went, what are you doing? So I was like, I'm just applying for this job. What job? I said, I'm applying to be a coroner's officer. And she was like, why? And I was like, well, I don't really like what I'm doing. She went, oh, I get it. You're applying for a job you don't really want just to get out of a job you don't really want.
Yeah.
She went, that is really, really sensible. She said, you're really bright. I'm like, all right, Nick. Like, she was like, but why? What do you want to do? And I was like, what do you mean? She went, if you could do anything, what would you do?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'd get into property and I'd like develop houses. She went, well, then get off your ass and do it. And I did. And I left the Metropolitan Police and I started developing properties. And I would now describe my life as I haven't worked a day since. But 12 years on, I've got more money than I had 12 years ago by actually having the ball, well, getting kicked into
but
what you want to actually do. That's what Sam Basford's done. He's gone, do you know what? I could earn a load of money as an accountant, you know, saving rich people loads of money and blah, blah, blah. Or I can do what makes me happy.
That's it's a difficult one. And I do feel for youngsters because it is a challenging world out there. And it's not easy. And social media does drive a lot of them thinking that they're an easy task. And, you know, I'll say to anyone, you know, my boys are in social media and I've always had the dad chat with them about it. But they work extremely hard at it. These videos are not something they just knock up. You know, the equipment they use, the thought process, the ideas, the time they
not
put in.
Not as easy as it looks.
No, and you know, and they've had a lull when things are there, and they've managed to get them build themselves. But it's taken them 2 years, two and a half years to get this far, to get themselves established. But that comes with keep grinding away, keep grinding away. And not everyone's going to be successful at it.
No, exactly.
You know, they've fortunately they got, I truly believe they've got a, they've got a format that works, but they've also got a topic that changes with football, changes weekly, daily. So there's always content there. But
I think pickleball will get there.
I think it'll give opportunities to people as well.
I do. And I think, and I see the opportunities that some people have had already, and I see the way it's changed lives.
Yeah.
And like I've seen people with illnesses that really stunted their lives, and they've got into pickleball and they've blossomed, you know. And people who have struggled with illnesses that got through it because of pickleball without getting emotional. And
that's
fine. You know, I've seen a particular Elaine Shawcross, brilliant pickleball player, get in there and then all of a sudden, bang, diagnosed with breast cancer. That's it, she's done. Like, her life is just like that, could be over. Yeah. And she's like, no, I'm going to fight this. And she fought it. She said, all I want to do is get back on that court. Oh, that's all I want to do. And she did it. She got back on that court and she was like, oh, I'd love to play at nationals. That's all I want to do. One more tournament. And she fought and she, because pickleball kept driving her.
Yeah, give her some purpose.
You know, and she played in nationals.
Yeah.
And all she wanted to do then was win a game at nationals.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, she goes home with a gold medal and the first ever national champion. Like, that.
What are you doing?
It don't get better than that, does it?
No.
You know, and she's still playing and she's like, she's God.
But isn't that the thing, I think, with any, often with illnesses, is if you can get your mental state in the right way, your body will,
yeah, it'll follow
heal,
you.
Will follow yeah. you and heal. And if you give yeah. up, your body gives up.
Absolutely. But having that to keep you going.
Yeah.
I've seen that with so many people in pickleball. It's given them a reason to get out the house. It's given them a reason to keep going. People with real mental health struggles, depression and whatever, and they turn up at pickleball and for 2 hours...
It's a sport.
It's all gone.
It's a sport that you cannot focus on outside of it. You have to, because it's a game of chess as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in that moment, it's a great way of unwinding and closing down from a day at work.
Absolutely.
Which is a thing. I'm very conscious of time for you.
Okay.
If I don't close this down, you're going to be in trouble. Right. And I'm going to be in trouble because you've got to be somewhere else. I could do this for another hour, or 2 hours.
Me too.
Lou, we'll have to do it again.
But definitely.
Can I say thanks ever so much for your time?
No,
it's been brilliant.
Absolute pleasure.
Thanks, Lou.
Yeah, really great to see you.
Take care, my love. And, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And good luck to your boys. Yeah.